Hello, friends, and welcome to the show. You know, on HR Oxygen, I would say that probably 95% of our audience are women who are HR professionals. And I know it seems awfully strange for a guy like me to be hosting a show like this, but we do a lot of our work with HR professionals, and I realized a long time ago that for the most part, they are overwhelmed, overstressed, and often underappreciated. This is men and women in this particular career field. But since we do have a fair amount of women who are our listeners, it's always important that once in a while we get a guest on who primarily helps women. And that is the case for today. Our guest today is Kimberly Armstrong. Now, she is the founder and CEO of The Natural Girl, but her main claim to fame is that she creates tools for empowering women. And that's the topic we're going to be looking at today. It is self-empowerment strategies for women. So if you're one of the men that listen to this channel, you can go ahead and sit this one out. If you really want to sit through it, then think about who you know in your network that might benefit most. Kimber is very inspiring. She actually was able to come to the studio with me. We had a great talk, and her strategies and her tools are very practical, and they are very positive. So let's just quit talking about Kimber and let's talk to her. Please welcome our guest, Kimberly Armstrong.
Should the cabin lose pressure, oxygen masks will drop from the overhead area. Please place the mask over your own mouth and nose before assisting others. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the HR Oxygen Podcast, the show focused on the overworked, overwhelmed, and underappreciated HR professional. And now, here is the host of our show, the boss builder, Mac Monroe.
Kimberly Armstrong, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
It's really neat to have an audience listen to a group that is live in a room. You are the third guest I've ever had in person here in our really professional studios in Dixon, Tennessee. So it's great to have you here. And we were introduced by a mutual friend who's been on the show before. And she says, you have to talk to my friend, Kimber. So we connected and here we are today. And today's topic is self-empowerment strategies for women. And so because it's for women, I'm going to shut my mouth and let you talk because I know nothing about this. So Kimber, tell us about yourself. Tell us about your journey.
I grew up in the South in Gulfport, Mississippi, and was a dental hygienist for greater than 25 years. And with that, I was a clinician for 20 years. And then after Hurricane Katrina hit in Mississippi, I decided I didn't need to live in Mississippi anymore. So I moved to Las Vegas and got to do some really cool things, worked for a school, in the dental assisting program and medical billing and coding, and did some dental hygiene temping and just had a ball out there. And from there moved to Utah, and from Utah moved to Billings, Montana. And around 2014 is when I retired from dental hygiene. And the funny thing is the common thread through all of what I've done is the training. When I was 21 years old in my first dental hygiene job, they said, oh, we need training at this nursing home. Can you run out and do staff training for them? And so I've always, always loved putting together training programs and presenting it to people and teaching and training. And that's followed me all throughout my career. I created a character, The Natural Girl, and I've done some natural health training via her. And when I was in Billings, Montana, I worked at Dress for Success. I started out volunteering there. And I don't know how much you know about that organization, but it's a fabulous nonprofit that's very big. They're in 150 cities in at least 25 countries, and they serve women who are going back into the workforce. They provide clothing, but now it's expanded to also providing career services for the women. And started out volunteering there in Billings, and then I became the Career Center coordinator, and that was awesome and right up my alley of training and helping women with interview skills, resume writing. And I had put together some professional development workshops for them, and so I had speakers that came in to do the workshops, but I thought I want to do something from me to them. And so I've been journaling for a very long time, for probably about 20 years. And the common thread that I saw with those clients was they didn't have great self-confidence. So I designed 4 exercises to walk them through, designed to have them look at themselves and see that they already have wonderful positive attributes. And we listed those, and they were already having successes, have had successes in their life. We listed those, and then we listed some characteristics that they wanted to develop in themselves so that they could be a bigger, better version of themselves, and then also some future endeavors that they had their eye on. And just the little exercise, I mean, you could feel the energy shift in the room was palpable. My volunteers were doing the exercises, the attendees were, and I was having lunch with my girlfriend the next week, and I was telling her about it, and she said, oh, you should pitch that to Dress for Success Worldwide, make it into a product. So that's what I did. And that's where the journal came about, the guided journal that I wrote, and approached Dress for Success, and they loved it. So I wrote that journal and then another one for women. And that launched my business career with Tools for Empowering Women.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of funny the way the journal came about, the work for Dress for Success, and the idea to write the journal. And then I actually empowered myself straight out of an abusive relationship that I was in. And that just gave me more self-confidence and more proof that these things that I had been doing with the journaling work. And so I took about 6 months to just kind of hang out, write the journal, start the business, and decide where I wanted to move next. And that's how the business started. And so I've just been moving forward with my passion is helping women. And, you know, because of a lot of the things that I've been through, it's important to me to teach them, all women, you have the power to change your life.
Yeah, so that's an interesting background. And it sounds like did you always have this interest in helping people? Is that what put you into dental hygiene?
Always, yes.
Okay, so you were in hygiene for a long time, 20 plus years. Mm-hmm. What was there just something that made you say, I'm done with this and there's something more? When did that happen? Did it happen early in your career or?
Yeah, I wanted to get out of it. I got to do such cool things. Like, I mean, I was in management. I got to plan events for some different, you know, because I had 20 years. I was very stable just working in 2 different practices long term, 10 years each. And then when I moved to Vegas, I mean, I got in so many different dental offices by temping and working at that school that I worked at. You know, at the time, Vegas had 3 million people, and my job was to go out in the community and meet all these doctors and dentists. And it just, being a person growing up in Gulfport, Mississippi, which is a population of about 70,000, and going to this city of 3 million people where no one cared who my parents were, who I was married to, I was just able to be me.
Mm-hmm.
And that felt fantastic. So I think my world just opened up after that. That's when the possibilities just opened up. And I started probably plotting my escape from dental hygiene at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But it just took a little while to actually come to fruition.
Okay, yeah. Oh, I know what it's like to plot your escape. That's what I did in the Navy. So, you know, do you think right now you are at, like, so you started as a dental hygienist, now you have arrived. Is this like your last stop on the train station here, or is there more?
There's more.
Okay, so you sense that you're just, so you've made a big transition just to that. Do you have any idea where it goes in the future?
Well, what I know is I love sharing ideas with people. I love to write. I've actually written 4 books to date, and there are more. I've got 2 in the pipe. Again, it's always around helping people. Now my focus is really narrowed to helping women, and I've had guys say to me, well, this is like really good stuff. I could benefit from that too. And I say, well, I know you could, but my focus is women.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing against men. It's just that my passion is showing women their potential and that they can reach it.
Take us back to the Dress for Success. So the women that were in the program, what was most of their backgrounds? Were they dental hygienists or did they do other things?
No, they did other things. This was in Montana in Billings. And actually, I want to say around 70% of that client base was coming out of the women's pre-release program. And I actually took my volunteers into the prison because the problem for them there was that they had a computer lab, but they could only use it if they had supervision. Mm-hmm. And the prison didn't really offer supervision. So we went in and helped them learn new skills on the computer. And like if they were in federal prison, they were probably there for a long time. And think how fast technology changes. So mm-hmm. It was very helpful to give them that opportunity and kind of show them the ropes of how to navigate. You know, they didn't know, like, if you're not savvy with social media, you might not know what's appropriate to post or not post. There were probably largely in their 20s, 30s, and 40s, but some were even in their 60s. Like, they may have lost a job and then had trouble reentering the workforce. It was just a resource, and that was such a great affiliate. If anyone came to us needing help, we would find a way. They had to be referred from an agency, but we would always find a way to help them.
What was most of their confidence level after getting out of prison?
Rock bottom.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Now, what do you think brought that about? The fact that they're incarcerated, or like, was there a common theme that you saw with people?
Yeah, I would say they just felt beaten down. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't even imagine. I would take my volunteers weekly to this computer lab that we offered their help to them, and every time I left there, all I could think was, thank you God that I'm not in this place. Like, I just can't even imagine. And by the time they got there, it was not as many restrictions as being in prison, but that was the closest I've ever been to understanding what happens to people emotionally when they're in prison. And I'm not an expert, you know, I'm certainly not a mental health counselor or a psychiatrist or anything, but I am a huge student of human behavior, and I just think it's crushing to the human spirit to be in that environment. You know, I think it just lends itself to, okay, I'm different, I'm isolated, I did something wrong. You know, what hope is there for me? And the fact is, there's always hope. As long as you have breath in your body, mm-hmm. as long as you're still here, there's work to do.
Is that the message that you would give them?
Yeah, absolutely.
So tell me about, you said there was four activities that you would do with them. Can you share what those are?
Yeah, I've actually got a little video. I believe my web gal put it on the website. So, and that's a free resource that I put out. So I walk you through, actually it's got a little PowerPoint, and you can get pen and paper and do the exercises. So it's the four exercises I did at that Dress for Success workshop, and it's the first four pages of the journal.
Okay.
So we make a list of what are some things that I like or admire about myself, because if you don't have healthy self-image and self-acceptance, it's going to greatly diminish how far you can go in life. So my thing is getting the woman in a success mindset by seeing, okay, these are things, and that's a very good practice for anyone to do. What do I like about myself? You know, three things. Just list three
things.
Did
anybody have a hard time coming up with three?
They didn't. They were
that's good.
So,
okay,
yeah, it was
good.
Amazing. It made my heart so happy to see them. They were just studiously doing the exercises, and it seemed like it just poured out of them, just like it had poured out of me. And then, what are three successes that you've had? And I always like to accentuate and stress the importance that success is very personal. So what feels successful to you, that might not register on my radar. Mm-hmm. It could be, so don't look to what someone else says is successful. Like, don't put any qualifiers on it. It could be finishing a book or your education, or just sticking to a plan that you devise for yourself. It could be anything. So the thing that matters is what makes you feel successful. That's how we get in that success mindset. Mm-hmm. And then...
Did anybody have trouble with that part of it?
They didn't.
Good.
No, it was amazing. It was like magic. It just rolled out. And then, you know, really think about... I like to walk a woman through envisioning what... where you're going. Let's decide where you want to go. And we always do it one step at a time, because if you start here and you try to reach a goal that's way over here, what happens is you give up because it's too far of a reach. So I teach, let's do it. And, you know, let's have a goal. Let's have a goal that's not super far out. So we can come up with one or two steps to get there. And then you get there and then you feel great. And then you do it again. So I call that creating success cycles. Mm-hmm. So each time you reach that goal, that's one success cycle that's been completed. And then we go right into another one and another one. And that success mindset just builds and builds and snowballs. And before you know it, a year has passed and you look back and you say, wow, I am not the same person I was a year ago or 6 months ago, or, you know, it happens. It happens. You're just living life and having fun with it. And then all of a sudden you just can't believe the progress that you've made. So,
wow. Wow. So that's the third. So what was the fourth piece?
Let's see. Oh, so the third was characteristics that you want to develop in yourself.
So.
And then the fourth is goals that you want to achieve.
Okay. So that second one was the long one then, right?
Yes. Yeah,
okay. No. I thought that was like...
I get excited. Can you tell?
Yeah, I saw that. That's great. So is there anybody that went through that stands out to you as someone who... I mean, did you ever follow up with any of them or find out later what happened to them? Or
not that group, because I, for personal reasons, I moved away from that area. And honestly, while I was doing my work there... we would keep track of them in that program with the Career Center for about a year. And then typically with Dress for Successes, they transition into what's called a professional women's group. And it's not designed to be forever. So it's resources for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And then, but no, I don't. There weren't any that I've actually kept in touch with.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, I would imagine there's probably... a bunch of them that remember exactly what you did for them.
I hope so.
Yeah. I mean, especially if someone was able to really make a complete turnaround, which is what I think the prison system probably doesn't care about. But ultimately, I think that's what's going to help keep them successful, right?
Yeah. And having, like, knowing there's someone who believes in you, I think that's a value that I provide for the women that I work with, too. It's like we just said, if you're still here... you still have work to do, and you have amazing qualities in yourself. You're unique. You're special on purpose, and it's up to you to uncover what those talents and capabilities are, and I'll help you figure out where you want to go with it to get some steps to get there. But everyone deserves to live a full, happy life, and that's where I come in, as I provide the tools and the resources to get you there.
Okay. Well, you've mentioned journal a bunch of times. So when I think of a journal, I think of one of those books, and every day you get in there and write stuff down. Is that kind of what it is, or is there something unique?
Well, this is a guided journal, the one that I'm talking about. And so when I wrote the journal, I was at my mom's house sitting on my bed in my bedroom in the house I grew up at, with about 10 of my journals around me, and everything, the content in the journal is what came from my journal. So I was combing through them.
So were these journals you did when you
Yes.
lived there as a little girl?
No, I've only been journaling for about 20 years.
Well, when you were a little girl, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was like everything that's included in there, it's things that really helped me.
Okay.
I've had a lot to work through in my life and a lot of obstacles that have become opportunities, which is awesome. And it takes determination, and it takes courage and determination, and, you know, just not giving up and really looking at yourself. When I was in Vegas, I did multiple PSI seminars. Personal development training.
Is that what PSI is?
I'm not sure what PSI stands for, but it's personal development.
Okay.
And so I went to several, and that opened up my world as well, because before then, there are areas of my life that I felt, you know, small and ashamed and, you know, who am I to think I can do this or that? And so that really helped strip down those negative things that were holding me back. And it's a process. It didn't happen overnight, and it didn't happen going to one seminar, but that was huge to be able to, I learned the value of being able to look at myself honestly, and it's okay. Like, I see people all the time now too that are, they're lying to themselves and they're lying to the people in their lives. It's okay to be you. That's my message. Like, don't water down who you are trying to fit in with what someone else wants. Don't hold on to things that, we all make mistakes. We all do. And we all change our minds about what we think to be right or wrong as we grow. And so it's always a good time to start peeling back those layers and, you know, step into the life that God called you to, is the way that I see it.
When you were going through the old journals, working on your new one, were there some things that you don't remember that when you look through it, you think, oh my God, I totally forgot about that?
Yes.
Really? Was it more good stuff or bad stuff?
I would say what got my attention was the way I used to think more than anything. Like, it just put me back. I would say, oh wow, like at that point in time, I was really afraid of fill in the blank. And that I was so far removed from it then that it seemed like I was peeking in at someone else's life almost.
Wow. That must have been a good feeling though, right?
Yes. Well, that's how you know that this works. And that's why I love journaling. So it's good to go back and reread them sometimes because it's proof of how much progress you've made.
Mm-hmm.
And that feels good. I mean, when you can look back and say, oh wow, when I was, you know, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 8 years ago, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing right now because I didn't have the capabilities or the self-confidence or the knowledge that I have now. So I love it as a benchmark to show you how much progress you've made.
How often do you write in your journal?
At least once a day, if not twice, three, four, five times a day. So this is a funny little story I'll tell you. When I have learned with journaling, it's a conversation that I have with myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I ever get in a funk about anything, or even aggravated with someone, or frustrated with anything, what I've learned is it's mine to deal with. If I'm frustrated, it's my frustration. It's not, if I'm not going to come from a victim and say, Mac, you're frustrating me. It's like, if I'm frustrated, I've got to look at me. So I'll go put myself in time out.
Mm-hmm.
And journal about it. And I'll say, how am I feeling? Like, I'm frustrated with Mac. Why are you frustrated with Mac? Like, it's about me. It's not about you. I mean, that doesn't mean that when you're interacting with people, sometimes they don't do things that they shouldn't do. But if I'm having
a reaction. Well, I was just going to say, man, I feel good. I don't have to worry about what I say because it's all about you.
No, it's not all about me. My feelings are about me.
Is that a hard realization to get to, though? Because isn't it easy? It's easy for me to blame everybody for my unhappiness.
Sure.
Because it's, you know, I don't have to deal with it. This is complete ownership of almost everything, isn't it?
Yep.
How long did it take for you to get comfortable with that?
I mean, really, several years. But going through the personal development, self-awareness is huge. And when I first started journaling, I was scared to death that someone was going to read my journal, the people that I was living with at the time. And, you know, I mean, I really worried about it mm-hmm. a lot because, and I also may not have written as freely until I was out and living on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get that. But if you can give yourself permission to be totally honest with yourself, you're going to make progress faster. You've got to look and see what's working. What am I doing and what do I like about myself that's great, that's working and needs to be magnified? And then also, what's not working?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what it could be, am I a procrastinator? Am I lying to myself? Am I just not living up to my full potential in this way or that way? And then when we find those things, they need to be dismantled and then we kick them out. They don't have a place. They don't. If you want forward progress, if you want to move forward in life, you've got to unhook from the things that are holding you back.
Yeah. Well, I've always thought about journaling, but that's my greatest fear. What happens when I die and my kids start digging? It's like, oh my God, what was wrong with Dad? Is there something, because I think that is a true roadblock to somebody wanting to really open up, like it sounds like you have, on a piece of paper. And would you recommend that over like an iPad or a voice recorder or something?
No, and I do have digital versions of the journal available, and I like the fact that you can password protect those.
Okay.
I like to handwrite in my journals, but and funny too, when Hurricane Katrina hit, we had evacuated. And all I could think of was my journals, and they're in my closet, and they were saying people were looting and breaking into houses, and I'm thinking, I will just die if someone breaks in my house and gets my journals. And how crazy is that? Like, who would break in my house and go straight to my journals? I mean, that's just silly.
Yeah.
But when I got home, that was the first thing I did. I got 7 feet of water in my house, by the way, and I ran back to my bedroom closet and started pulling my journals out, and all the words were gone because it had gone underwater, and that was just such an eye-opener for me. I thought, why would you worry? It's just you. I mean, unless you're plotting evil against mankind, does it matter?
You're a celebrity. Right? But what is it? Like 1% of the world is people that everybody else cares about? The rest of us are just people, right?
I mean, it's just a tool to help you get further in life and get to know yourself better. So I say do it with wild abandon.
So let's talk about wild abandon. You obviously have a formula that you use, right? Because you say you have a journal that people can actually purchase, right?
Yes.
So without giving away your product, can you give us a hint as to what a formula might look like?
Yeah. So as I was saying before, like the exercises of getting into a success mindset, that's definitely a big part of it. And then also making sure that the goals that you set, we do it in manageable chunks. So if you're going to try for something that's too overwhelming and you don't believe you can achieve it, you won't get there. So I think those are probably the biggest foundations for the work. And then, you know, I like to say, if you need a little break one day, take a break, but don't start doing it and then go back to your old ways and your old patterns, or you're just going to stay where you are. So to change, you have to make changes. Mm-hmm. And for some people, I recognize that can be kind of scary, but if you're brave enough to try it, then you just start.
Okay. So we can actually buy this journal, right?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to talk about how to get it in a little bit. But the audience listening to this today is most likely an HR professional, and about 90% of the people in this field tend to be women. And sadly, women, I haven't operated in a man's world, and I just learned a term called mansplaining, so I'm probably doing that right now, aren't I?
That's a new one.
Really? Okay, well, yeah, look it up. So it's like Karen, right? We talked about Karen earlier. But so I guess the thing is, for many of them, and I know this because we go to the conferences quite a bit, many of them feel overwhelmed, overworked, overstressed, and in many cases, underappreciated. They are not often given a seat at the table where mainly the men hang out. And when HR is brought in, it's because we need someone to plan a party, or they come and bitch and complain about some new policy you've implemented that's based on a law that we have to follow. And so in many cases, they feel like they're not as empowered. That is somebody, it sounds like, that needs to be connecting with what you do.
Absolutely. It's a lot of the work can be done in the confines of a company, a corporation that cares enough about their women that they would send them to a place where they can get self-empowerment strategies. And I do have a monthly subscription that fits that bill. It's weekly content that I push out. So with the guided journal, the feedback that I've gotten since I published it first in 2017 was, whoa, that's a deep dive. And that's just how I operate. Like, it doesn't scare me to just jump in and do it, but I understand that it's more helpful now to provide additional guidance. So that's what this subscription does. Every week on Sunday morning, they get one page of the journal with extra guidance from me. And then I also have a recorded audio file that they get with that too. And, you know, talking about being stressed out and frustrated, It's either an inspirational audio or a guided meditation. And I really, really love the guided meditations. I've been doing those lately, and just a way to decompress and de-stress. If you can take your headphones and go away from everyone for 10 or 11 minutes, it's a great way. There's music to them. One of the recent ones that I did, it's called Meditation by the Sea. When I go visit my mom, I go walk on the beach, and my friends are like, oh, bring some beach back. So I got the idea, well, let me do a meditation that's like by the sea. And so it's got the sound of the waves and everything. And we are offering those individually on my website too. So if a person wants to do the subscription and get all of that, that's great. Or they can purchase some of these items separately.
Good. Well, last question I have for you, and this is one I've been asking a lot of my guests over the past few months. So I don't like to timestamp our podcast. Today's May 27th. We're, I think, sort of inching our way out of the quarantine now. Everybody's kind of going crazy. But high school seniors and college seniors have really had the rawest part of this deal, aside from people who've died from this thing. Because for high school girls, no prom. For college graduates, no graduation, and then no high school graduation. So I think often of a high school girl now, 25 years from now, when her daughter's complaining she didn't have a date for the prom, what's mom gonna say?
I didn't have a prom,
right? So what would your message be to women, high school seniors and college seniors, who are now entering this shitty world that we are about to experience? What advice do you have for them?
It's very easy for me to come up with that. You have the power to make your life whatever you want it to be. Coronavirus or no coronavirus, graduation ceremony or not, it's what you make of it. Those of us that succeed in the midst of all this are going to pivot and shift and do things differently, because it's a different world that we're living in right now. So you can either, sit on your sofa and whine and cry about it and say, poor me, like, why did this happen? We didn't have, no graduation. It is terrible. I mean, but at the same time, I've seen over and over, and I said this from the beginning with this pandemic, like, there will be wonderful, beautiful, fabulous things that come out of this, and there have. Just amazing. So being able to understand, even when something is occurring that people are labeling as horrible and bad, and I'm not downplaying that it is, like you said, I mean, people have died from it, and mm-hmm. it is very serious. But if you're here and you're strong and you're healthy and you've got things to do, then you can figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Good advice. Well, Kimber, how do we find you online? How do we buy the journal? How do we subscribe to the stuff?
So my website is toolsforempoweringwomen.com. And there's a contact form. You can email me. You can reach out to me there. On the shop page, the journal is listed for sale there, as well as the subscription, Self-Empowerment Strategy subscription. So it's just pretty, pretty simple. And I teach you how to get back in the driver's seat.
That's good. Do you still do workshops and speak and do stuff like that?
I don't have anything in person lined up right now, but I am still working with clients. I'm doing one-on-one coaching, as well as the content that I put out there for the subscription also takes a lot of my time, and I'm working on an online course on Teachable. So yeah, it's
great. So if somebody wanted you to come and speak in an event, you wouldn't say no, right?
No, I'd love to. I love, 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 as I said about the training, like, that is just in my DNA to go out and help people train, help them be better.
Perfect. Okay, so you heard it. Go to the website, which is?
toolsforempoweringwomen.com.
Beautiful. Well, Kimber, thank you for driving. How many miles did you have to drive to get here?
45 minutes. I don't know how many miles. 40 miles?
Yeah, roughly, I guess. Yeah. So thank you for coming all the way here to the studio and spending some time with us this afternoon. And if you're listening, I would strongly encourage you, check out the website and work with Kimber. She obviously knows what she's doing.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the HR Oxygen Podcast. We hope you found something today that will relieve your stress, feed your soul, and pump you up to face another day. At Boss Builders, we want to let you know that we appreciate the hard work you do every day as an HR professional. And as a reminder, always make sure to adjust your own oxygen mask before attempting to help those around you. Be well.